Blog Talk Radio.
Down in Alabama.
champion, South Carolina. Telling us to slow up. We can hear voices telling us to cool up. Our only answer in confrontation turn must be that we have cooled off too long, and if we keep cooling off, we'll end up in a deep freeze. We must go on and say, no, what we are saying to this nation is that we want all of our rights. We want them here.
What your life can truly be. Shine and star for you to see. What your life can truly be.
Well, once again, it's Wednesday night, and you know what time it is. Life and Leadership with Network with the one and the only Reverend Morale P. Brown, a.k.a. Coach Morale. Today's theme is use your abilities for the maximum impact. And are you ready to maximize in your life? Stay tuned to hear Coach Morale. She's going to break it down for us as she makes us understand how to maximize our impact. Quite obviously, living your life like it's golden. Quite obviously, like Dr. King say, here, now, and all. And we're once and for all, we're going to give you the one and the only Coach Morale. Let's give her a nice hand. Come on, y'all. Y'all sleeping.
Wow, Dr. Ron, thank you so much for a great introduction as usual. I don't take it for granted, really. I maximize, make the most of this time. It is Wednesday. I want to just say to the Max fam, good evening, and you are getting over the hump. Woohoo! Oh, I'm so excited just for the time, always just making sure that I am well prepared, coming up with tips, strategies and tools, and as you can see, I'm trying to see which one I'm going to say first, but but the whole thing is making sure that I'm well prepared and what I'm giving the audience is well thought of, as promised. I believe that in order to achieve maximum impact and to make an impact in life, it is important that we change our mindset, right, Dr. Ron?
Yes, definitely.
And so some people, right, and it's interesting because as I shared with so many different people, when I started my coaching company, I looked at the World Health Organization, WHO, in the last 2 years, 2020 and 2021, we begin to really see what the World Health Organization is all about. And for 2020, I just want to go back just for a minute. I know people that's kind of tough for them mentally, emotionally, physically. But the reality is that we begin to see the job or the work of the World Health Organization. And as I look at research in terms of development and what is best practices, that is where I took my particular guide from, best practices, how I'm going to look at an individual, how I'm going to look at a couple, how I'm going to look at a family, how I'm going to look at society. And when they talk about prosperity, well-being, it's interchangeable. And when I look at, which I love to say the phrase from the Declaration of Independence, it's talking about life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. Now, my show is not necessarily just about that, but it is that framework that everyone, you and I, Dr. Ron, our audience, our family, our friends and strangers, and people around the globe, they're longing for emotional, mental, physical, spiritual, vocational, financial, and relational well-being. And when I think of prosperity, it's talking about a good journey, a long journey that an individual is actually going on. And everyone is longing for happiness and peace and tranquility. And that's in every area of life in terms of Maslow describes it. He's a psychologist from like the 1800s, 1900s. He explains the basic need of every human being is the basic needs such as food, shelter, clothing, love, self-actualization. And in order to get to that point in life where you are focusing one on self so that you can walk in health, prosperity, you can walk in being self-actualized or prosperity, and it's in addition to the financial. When you look at the hierarchy of Maslow, again, food, shelter, clothing, love, acceptance, belonging, all of those things, and we touched on it about 2 weeks ago, all of those things help with our identity of who we are. And what's so important in coaching and counseling, in psychology and therapy, is that in order for us to dig deep and to help an individual out of perhaps what could be a dark place, a place where perhaps there was molestation or there was some type of abuse or neglect or abandonment, you want to go into the darker place of man. And I believe that 2020 was a very dark place for a lot of us worldwide in terms of we had to dig deep and to say, who am I? And to look at what our identity is and then realize that although it was dark, although it was dismal, and as I was thinking, there are so many people, even like myself, who have lost loved ones. When I think of the greatest loss of 2020, it was losing loved ones and losing a husband or a wife, a brother, a sister, a niece, a nephew, a great aunt, a great uncle, and overcoming that mindset that you cannot live without them and that what is going to happen to your life now that they're gone. And my heart goes out to you, and I'm still overcoming the grief of my great aunt, which is really a dynamic individual. She was just the rock, the matriarch of our family. And so, you know, in terms of loss, we don't take it lightly, but we want to go through those stages of grief. First, we want to, most of the time, and this is, it's about 5 to 7 stages, and it doesn't mean that you'll go through every last one of them. I'll just say some of them quickly. I won't go through all of them. But the first thing to do when somebody, what we usually do is to deal with the loss. Really, we don't deal with it. We bury it, and we'll deny that it even has happened. And then we'll get to a point where we start bargaining, like maybe, you know, you'll say, well, perhaps I went to the hospital more, or if that person took care of themselves, because you don't want to accept it. Now, I want to go into another loss real quick, right? Like I said, I was not going to go into all the stages of grief, but I do have information on that, and I have been coaching people in terms of that. So if you need information, I can get that out to you. There's another loss that took place in 2020. And again, we are talking about leveling up your mindset, having a maximum impact and maximizing in life. And with that being said, there were a lot of people who lost their jobs. They lost position. And unfortunately, for a lot of human beings, for various reasons, we've been trained to believe that our identity, oh, gee, Dr. Vaughn, we're going back into that, to believe that our identity is connected to our job, that our identity, for those that were, say they just got got pulled into a Broadway play in New York City, and they've dreamed about this all their life, and then boom, no more Broadway plays for about a year and a half. Their identity, some of them were connected to their role in that play. And then, you know, in terms of individuals and parents, I believe for parents, they went through a very challenging, hard time, and rightly so, because they were forced now to really sit with their children and really talk to them. And then others said, wait, we're not doing this. And they just gave them, you know, the games and things like that. But the reality is, in order to change and understand that now your identity wants to be connected to who you really are and to realize in terms of self-esteem, self-actualization, who you are and why you were created on this earth. And in doing so, you want to go from a fixed mindset to a mindset of movement and growth. Now you may say, well, you know, Coach Morrell, what is a mindset? Basically, it's an attitude. It's so interesting because even as I started my coaching business on paper and doing the foundation while I was still working at the as a substitute teacher, Charlotte Mecklenburg School System, I was thinking of optimization, optimized living personally and professionally, changing your mindset, changing your attitude so that we can change lifestyle. And then as a from a fixed mindset to a growth mindset, and I begin to look up the word maximization. And I'm like, wow, okay, maximization is to make the most of it. And it really has a connotation or meaning that you have everything you need. Optimization is when you don't have a lack of time or you have a lack of staff, lack of resources, or lack of what you need in order to live or live in abundance. Maximization suggests you have the staff, you have the money, you have the budget, you have the materials, you have the different things that you need. And so I believe my mindset, and I'm just giving you that I walk through this just as you need to walk through it, from going from a fixed mindset to a growth mindset, to say, okay, you know what, Morrell, when you do your next banner, it really needs to say maximize, making the most of it, because I believe when it's all said and done, our creator wants us to live life in its abundance and not to be living in a land of lack or land of not enough, but to live in that land of more than enough so that we can move in that hierarchy structure, right, from Maslow to just having our own apartment or house, our own car, our own degree or high school diploma or certification, and move from it's just about me, my family, and I to now how can I help another family who may be at a place in the way they're optimizing, making the most of the limited budget that they have economically or the lack of education. Perhaps they made a decision they didn't want to go to college, that they want to get a certification, helping those who are struggling. And what happens with the mindset, it goes from poverty to prosperity. And I like that also because poverty means you think, and it's not just economic money, it's not just gold, silver, and clothing and cars. It's about your mindset. How can I move beyond me, myself, I, and my family to now my neighbor. Now from the neighbor to my block. How can I think of beyond my block? And what about my community in Charlotte, North Carolina? And then I can also have a mindset that would go beyond my community. Well, what about North Carolina? What about Raleigh, which is the capital of North Carolina? How can I view my state? What is it that I can contribute to my state? And you want to go from your state and then to the 50 states and then, of course, you know, the territories of the United States and then the world. But you start with self first, and self, you want to go through a self-transformation, And how does that happen? Well, tonight at 7:19, it happens like this. You want to go through what we call a brain hacking. According to the dictionary, it is the application of techniques and technology to affect an individual's mental state, meaning the mind, the psychological, the cognitive processes or the level of function. And for me, as I was sitting in high school and teaching the students about business and teaching them about opening up bank accounts and finance and teaching them about personal finance as well, my mind began to expand. And I was like, wow, wow, I wish I would have gotten this when I was in high school, when I was coming up, you know, as a youngster. But the bottom line is, I'm saying to you, Max Pham, it is not too late to hijack your brain and learn something new. And as you learn it, don't sit on it, but embrace it. I want to quickly talk about a few powerful ways to build your mindset in kids. 2 weeks ago, we talked about identity. We talked about the different stages that children go through. And so parents, this is your moment. This is your hour. Get your pen, your pencil, your crayon, all right, your chalk, your iPad, and your iPod. Growing your child's mindset. If a child comes to you and says, Mommy, I don't know how to do this math. I hate it. I don't understand it. I'll never learn it. What you can do in giving your child strategies is this. You can acknowledge their frustration. Honey, I understand where you are. And you know what? The math that you guys are doing in school, and the parent can say, look, I don't understand it either. However, you can use the word yet. We're going to learn this. We're going to go on, we're going to Google it, G-O-O-G-L-E, Google, 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 Google. Yes, we Google everything, right? Okay. We're going to learn, all righty, how to do this algorithm. We're going to learn how to do algebra. You don't know it yet, son, but you're going to learn it. And then you want to tell them over and over and over that their brains is getting stronger. Their brain, the muscles in their brain is growing. You know, the frontal lobe, their back lobe, memory, concept, cognitive, understanding, those synapses is connecting. You're growing. Keep telling them that. And then you want to also tell them to pay attention to that when they make the effort. You know, it's interesting because when I was in the seventh grade and I was talking to my nephew and my grandnephews and nieces about this, I said, I struggled a lot in middle school. And they did too. Middle school is a beast. It's just, you're no longer in elementary. You're no longer getting those, well, some of them are not getting a lot of dittos, right, handouts. But now they're saying to you, hey, process this math. I was able to do the math my way. It was a long way, but that's the way I got the right answer. When I was coming up, they didn't give you credit for getting the if you got the wrong answer, they didn't give you credit. But now, at least, you know, when I was around school, they would give you credit because they saw your process. And what you want to do is to praise your child for the process. And now I'm going to skip over to the adult. All right, at 7:23. For the adult, you want to try exercises and activities to develop your growth mindset. And what that means, again, going from that fixed mindset. Let's just say, for example, and for me, my strength is literacy, is writing, history, biology, science. My challenge, where I have to work harder, is math, geometry, all right, all those types of algebra. I'm more of a concrete person. Show it to me. Let me write it. That's how I learn. That's how... You know, that's how I grow and develop. You give me a book or you give me history or you give me PBS, anything like that. That's my aptitude. Then what happens is I find more and more, especially at age 57, right? Going on 60 soon. You know, I'm always adding. And, but the first thing that happens in my mindset is, uh-oh, you're not that great at math. Uh-oh. But what happens is I have to shift and hijack my brain and my mind and say, guess what? You are becoming better and better at mathematics. And I find that now that I'm older, I understand it better. And then I also understand the concept more than the strategy itself. And I just say to you, in order to maximize in life, to use your ability, is to identify what are your strong points. What are your natural gifts? What are you just naturally born to do, to think, to behave? What comes natural to you? And then you want to look at what we call spiritual gifts. Some people, they're able to understand that if they meet somebody, just say in the mall, they're in, one of the malls out here in North Carolina, let's just say Carolina, and they bump into someone, they can actually pick up some things that may have happened to that person in their past, or they can also tell if something may happen to them, good or bad, and so they'll have that type of gifting. And then there are people who they don't really necessarily have to be millionaires, but they have more than enough financially for themselves, and they have that gift of giving. They just love to give no matter what it is. They're like, hey, you know what? What's the need? Okay, I'm here. All right. You know what? Count me in. You know, I'll buy a t-shirt. I'll buy a book. I'll support what you're doing. And they just have that passion beyond themselves to give. And so adults, you can change. You don't want to feel like, hey, you know what? I've been like this all my life. I have my great, 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 great granddaddy's attributes and traits. This is who I am. He was like that, and he died like that, and I'm going to die like that. No, 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 no. Life is too precious, baby. It's too precious. Life is for you to grow, to change. When you stop changing and growing, guess what? You're underground. You're 6 feet underground. It's time that we live. And not just live and just walk like zombies in life, but I have this sign, and I like to say this, and it says, start each day with a grateful heart. And so to me, when you start thinking about being grateful and keeping perhaps a journal or a diary or just jotting it down or telling someone, wow, I am grateful to be alive. I am grateful because I'm going from a poverty mentality to a prosperity mentality, and I'm learning to maximize in life. I'm going beyond me, myself, and I to now how can I make an impact? And this is what I just want to share with you quickly, and then I'm going to just, you know, turn it over to Dr. Ron in terms of level up your mindset so that you can make an impact. You want to tap into MBI, Life Coaching Services. I've been on, I think this is almost my fourth month. I'm loving it. I'm enjoying it. I'm growing and developing. When, as I change, you get information hot off the press because I bring it to you and I bring it to you real. Definitely give me a call, 862-205-9077. I am a trainer, Strengthening Families Train the Trainer, where I train staff to help families, individuals. Personal development, I do workshop facilitation. I'm a life coach and mentoring as well. I have a nonprofit, MPB, Family Development Center Incorporated, where our goal is training and technical assistance, referral services, coaching and mentoring, entrepreneurship, school and career readiness, children and youth development, marriage enrichment, parenting skills, fatherhood program. Whatever your needs are, give me a call. Check out the website, www.morelinc.com. Dr. Ron, what are your thoughts on leveling up your mindset so that you can make an impact, using the ability to make an impact?
You know, it's interesting that you said that because that's one of the capabilities of the human concept. If you look at human beings, right, we're always creating, we're always developing, we're always bringing out new trains of thought, whether it's a physical or whether it's a psychological, whether it's scientific. one thing about the human capacity is to create, right? Because there are human beings that created the zipper, for instance, when there was no zippers. You know what I'm saying? Human beings created heart surgery when there was no heart surgery. You know, we created cars when there was no cars. So the and as science goes and evolves, and as technology evolves, it all comes from where? The human concept. So it's like God created us to be this evolving mechanism to change what? The world. So it's like it's our job. It's almost innately our nature as human beings to change. And so everything you're saying is so dynamic. I mean, I'm sitting there listening to you, and I'm like, what can I say, you know, because you just got it going on. You look at Laszlo, right?
Yeah, so
he's from the 1800s, right? He was born in the 1700s. His concept of what he drew from was from those that he mentored under in the 1600s. And as you go on and you go further back in time of Christ, you know, AC, DC, you know, way back before the biblical times, there was always what? Someone creating. As Christ created, the disciples also created, and people in around his circle was creating. So it's something like it's an innate nature in mankind. We all have different abilities. Some men have their hands, and they could build homes and cars. They're gifted with their hands, and some men, what we call today intellectual properties, where people are so intellectual, developed, intelligent. Yeah. Their mind tells them about technology, how to develop this technology that we have today. I mean, we got stem cells, we got people who can do research in that area, and they can mend a physical arm and replace it. Mm. It's, you know, cars can park themselves, you know, cars can fly, and you know, it's just awesome. So what you're saying is that if a person will really think deeper about who they are and where they are and what they want to do, the capacity to expand and to
go beyond
their status or their state of it's all like mind over matter. You know what I'm saying? Because your mind over the matter what you see is we're going. The Bible says what? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, but evidence of things not seen. And God said what? He said, talk those things as if they exist, right?
True.
So our capacity to be so involved in our society, we're always stating, because the person that said we can go to the moon, and people say you got to be crazy, you know, you're out of your mind. There's no such thing. But he said, no, we can do it. We can do it. He had to convince himself, number one, in order to convince others. So we're constantly evolving, because I believe that's just a part of human conception and human creation. Yeah. So we're constantly doing that anyway. But as you explain, it's like almost I was bad at math. I mean, terrible. I entered a program through a medical training program. I ended up in college at 15 years old. So I didn't experience middle. I guess that would be middle school, right? Well, junior high school. I didn't experience junior high school. I didn't even experience high school.
Good for you.
I went right
God
into
bless
college.
You.
You know, and here I am, and I'll be honest with you, it scared me. It scared me tremendously because I am saying to myself, I couldn't even do. I'm saying to myself now, you know what? Here you are sitting in college. You didn't even accomplish high school math. How in the world you accomplish this? But my creative mind told me there were students in the class who were good at math, and I would become their friend, and they would assist me. And they did have college do not have what junior high school they had, which a teacher, you know, and you're a teacher, so you know better. You understand where I'm coming from. Where I would have got that one-on-one. You know, if you're a nice kid, you bring them an apple, you know, the teacher would say, oh, great, you know, and the teacher would spend some time with you. So I didn't get that kind of assistance in college, but my mind told me to befriend others in the classroom who would assist me and help me get along. And you know that old saying, you get by with a little help from your friends. So that's what I did, and it would help me to expand myself. But there was areas in which I could help them, which I was
right.
very good in history.
Right.
History,
mm-hmm.
Social development, things of this sort, and
yes.
you know, abstract thinking and things of that thing. So I have things I can contribute as well to the table. So
exactly.
we sort of, you know, piggyback on each other, and we were able to advance ourselves. So the mind
See?
Moves in a way that even we're not thinking about it. But you're saying being conscious of your ability to move beyond where you're at. But I'm also saying there's a part of us, because I wasn't conscious of my movement, my mental movement, my academic movement. I wasn't like, you know, like such a smart kid. I'm saying, wow, look at me. I'm moving, you know.
Uh-huh.
I was trying to survive in the class. Uh-huh. I wanted to be successful academically.
Right.
And I wanted to show my mom, my dad, the world that I can achieve uh-huh. in college. I can do this.
Yeah.
I can make this happen.
Uh-huh.
So in that capacity, you're right. You're expanding sometime out of necessity, sometime out of desire, sometimes out of love for something. You know, you see a lot of people expanding in science. A lot of kids love science. So they, you know,
right.
you as a teacher, you would see them do very well, and they're so excited about it. And they would come to you and say, Miss Morrell, I'm saying Miss Brown. Miss Brown. Tell me this. Tell me, you know, you have that enthusiastic kid that's so excited about the subject matter. And then you have a kid that's very, very quiet and to themselves, and you can see that they have challenges in academics. And a lot of times they put their head down and they say, oh, God, don't let Miss Brown call me. Please don't let her call me, you know.
Uh-huh.
And then you'll pick on that. You'll pick up on that. You'll go to that child, and you'll bring it out of them. You know what I'm saying? Teachers have that interest when they see the child is challenged. And they'll say, well, you know what, why don't you try this? You know, so you teachers will bring out some level of interest in that subject matter, which they had fear of. And so you're right. The human capacity, I believe, I was telling a guy today, it's innate. It's like God give us an innate right to just move our brain beyond where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like that saying in the Bible, once I was a child, act like a child, play like a child, now I'm a man, now I'm a woman, I act like a woman. You know, so you're moving from one level to another level. You know what I'm saying? So,
that's good.
The capacity of the brain to evolve. It's just our nature, you know. I don't think nobody other than a mentally challenged person or person who had what we call developmental challenges would stay in one position. You know what I'm saying? There's nobody.
Right, and let me just affirm that, Dr. Ron. You're 100% correct. And I remember mentioning this maybe a couple of months ago. You know, I had the pleasure with working with children who was on, you know, the autism spectrum. And there was a young fellow, matter of fact, I believe he had the ability to speak, you know, some children that have autism. And I like to make sure I say it the right way. They're not autistic, but they have autism, and which is a condition of the brain or a challenge of the brain. But this gentleman, the class, matter of fact, it would range from, there were different classes I would do, but this particular class, their ages would range from like maybe 15 to like 21. And the computer teacher who was hired to fix the computer could not fix it. And this gentleman with his special gift, right, was able to fix that computer with no training.
Wow.
But the way his brain was wired, and I just, you know, I get emotional. I just love the fact of watching the range of skill. You will see the challenge. Perhaps there are some of the students weren't able to speak. There were others who had challenges walking. Others who maybe had issues controlling the emotions. But when you look at the other spectrum, they were geniuses, and that's what I believe, you know, Dr. Ron, that I have that gift to identify my own genius and then accept my challenges, but not harp on my challenge and play a sad song. Oh, woe is me. Oh, I'm not that great in math. No, but what I do is I celebrate and I dance to the fact that, as you were talking about, and we're gifted in similar areas, creativity, spontaneity, history, science, human development, those type of things. And so our genius is on one end, and then, so to speak, if you will, the challenge is on another, but not focusing on the challenge, but strengthening that challenge and not getting stuck. And what I want to do, and I'm behaving myself tonight, I want to open up the line.
I want to say something very quick, if I may. You're going to find this interesting.
Real quick, Dr. Ron, because you know us.
Real quick. There is a man in Africa. He's 23 years old. He spent 20 years. No, not 20 years. He spent 18 years in elementary school. He's small. He looks like a child.
Yeah.
You know, he's small, looks like a child. But he keeps saying, I'm going to graduate. I'm going to graduate.
Oh, yeah,
and he's spending 18 years in this capacity, but his desire is to graduate and get out of there, and all the other students already graduated and went to college, and he's still in that grade. It's a very interesting subject matter. If you ever get a chance to take a look at it, you know, it's very interesting.
Okay, I will, definitely. Wow, determination, you know. Okay, see, Dr. Ron, stop it.
I'm sorry. I know, we take you off course.
I'm going to behave myself. Audience, you've been gracious for the last 2 weeks. We're going to go ahead and open up Q&A. What do we have, Dr. Ron? Anybody have any questions, comments?
All right. We can open up 914-979. You're on with Coach Morrell for Q&A right now. You have any questions?
Yes. First of all, I just would like to say, I definitely agree with, many of the things that you guys are saying, because, what you see is basically what you get. And unfortunately, a lot of times what we see is not our ability to really achieve things on a higher level, because, this society is teaching us that, just keep yourself on that lower plane of thinking, and that's, basically where you should stay. But the bottom line is, if you do have coaching and teaching from the right people, they will definitely try to get you to elevate your consciousness so that you can definitely see yourself being able to be not a loser in different things, but a winner, and a person that can really conceive and achieve some great things that can happen. And, as I've said before on the line, one of the great things that, we also need to really elevate our consciousness to understand is that, when you really see that you are not just a limited human being that can only do but so little, but you also someone that can do great, awesome, and amazing things. But the bottom line is that these are things that aren't really taught to us. So basically, if that's the case, these are the things that make it very difficult for us to even conceive that these are things that we can do. But when you listen to, some folks are, into the Bible, so those folks that are and that have seen, I think that's in, the first chapter of the Bible, Lord Jehovah said, hey, you are made in the likeness and also the image of God. And that's a very powerful statement, because he's not saying, well, yes, you guys are little, chips off of the pie. You're not a part of the pie. You're not a slice or anything like that. But he said, no, you guys are made in the image and likeness of God, which means that you have a likeness of him and that you are also made in that imagery. So that's telling you right there that many of the things that, God has the ability of doing, he has blessed you with the ability to do as well. And then on the other side, down the line, there was another piece that was really powerful, and Jesus even said this as well. And he said, hey, the things I do, you can do it even more. So these are things that we can do, but the only problem is with it is that when you really talk to people about this, most people said, are you crazy? You can't do that.
True.
This, that, or the other. You got to be crazy, But the reality of it is that's our true identity, to be able to raise our consciousness to another level where we can actually do awesome and supernatural and amazing things in life. And once we can really get someone to teach us on that level, then that will allow us to be able to do those things.
Wow. Thank you so much. That was very powerful. You know, the word that keeps sticking out is raising the consciousness, you know what I mean? Elevating our consciousness and going beyond the natural in essence, and to realizing that we're going to tap into that spiritual. And who do I have the pleasure of speaking with?
This is Benjamin Bridges.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Great. Great. Thank you so much. I definitely appreciate that. You know, just tell your friends we're on. And we're going to have a special guest at 8 o'clock. So you want to definitely maximize this moment and just tap into your friends and tell them, you know, there's some great talk on tonight, talking about leveling up the mindset so that we can have an excellent impact. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be great.
Yes, I've got to mention that 8 o'clock, we got the wonderful family there, Mr. and Mrs. Jones and the family. I call it the Joneses family. And, you know, they have a wonderful program where they're going to help make your life better, a financial group. And that's making your life better through finances as well. So I want to just comment on that and let people know that we have that.
Thank
as
you.
You said.
I so appreciate it. That's right. We definitely have them on. Oh, man, I'm looking forward to it.
You have
anybody
a lot
else,
of text messages as well. A lot of text messages.
Okay, so what do we have?
Yes, we have Elizabeth Taylor. What a wonderful
okay.
name. You know, I can
awesome.
Remember when I was growing up, Elizabeth Taylor. Elizabeth Taylor
yes.
From Missouri, and she wants to know in terms of bullying. You know, she has a child he's not diagnosed with any particular mental condition, but he is a very fragile child. She's using the word fragile, and he's very he's not very outgoing. He doesn't make a lot of friends, and she finds that he's being bullied a lot, and she's trying to encourage him that he is, you know, worthy of good friendships and he has, you know, the ability to achieve. And she said she's found a difficulty because of the bullying. He's getting into a shell, you know, so she wants to know how can she assist him.
Right. Yeah, that's thank you so much, Dr. Ron, and thank you, Ms. Taylor, you know, just for advocating for your son. I find two things. For me, as a teacher, I did not allow students to talk down to each other nor to laugh at each other if another kid got the wrong answer. What I did was I was their first line of defense. And then I also empowered the students to talk with each other. And I also did a buddy system where if there's a new, especially in the 9th grade, 10th grade, you get someone that just entered school. Instead of September, they come maybe in October, which means they didn't get a chance to meet everybody in the class. I will assign that child a buddy, somebody that would go to lunch with them. It depends on what grade your child is in. What I would recommend is a couple of things. You're already doing some great strategies already, talking to your child, building them up. Also, in addition to that, let them know, as we were talking, that everyone learns differently, and then everybody has a certain genius towards or propensity or growth or capacity towards, let's just say, math or science. And then others may be good at geometry, history, and that to celebrate his differences. And in terms of being smaller, that big that up, that rather you smaller, you know, for me, my size, I was skinny, you know, and I was somewhat short compared to my classmates. And, but I had to learn that, hey, you know what, I get to be in the front of the line. Now, in terms of a concrete, you can dial this number, all right, and this is 1-800-273-8255, all right, someone to talk to and where you can get help. And then in terms of, bullying, for your son to understand that, unfortunately, it's really tough, rather you go to a private school or secular school, right, religious, kids, because of the way their brains are and their mind, they're going to always look at another kid, what they're wearing. They're going to look at the texture of their hair. They're going to look at even their cell phone, sneakers that they're wearing, and they just feel like they need to be an commentator, and they don't realize that it really hurts. Years ago, we should say sticks and stones may break my bones and words don't hurt me, but it does, because words are powerful. We'll get into that maybe a little later. But the reality is, you know, call a different hotline that you may need to, and actually what I put you on was stopbullying.gov. And you can go on there, facts about bullying, there's laws and policies about bullying. And if you feel that your child is getting depressed over that, perhaps speak out. You know, I can coach you, or you can see a therapist so that that child can build up their self-esteem during that time, especially if we're talking grades 7 and 8, you know, or 6 through 8. That's a very tough time just without bullying. And so continue, Elizabeth, Mrs. Taylor, to give your child that strategy and surround him with friends that celebrate him. So I hope that helps you. And definitely give me a call, 862-205-9077. Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Okay, great, great. You got time for another question?
Yes, yes.
Okay, Darren Coley from Chicago, Illinois, he says he's having a difficult time. His wife and himself, his daughter's in that preteen age, probably that sixth, seventh grade that you're talking about, high school, I guess that is. They call it these days. I'm trying to get up with this stuff. But he's saying
that
the difficulty with socialization, like, okay, kids lose their self-esteem, and he's feeling his daughter losing her self-esteem based on the fact that she cannot get with the popular kids or the popular girls or the pretty girls and things of that sort. And he says that messes with academic achievements as well. And he wants to know, how can he assist his daughter, or their, what can he do to, you know, to get her to feel like she can get friends, or how can she find more friends and, you know, get more social things going on in school, groups and things of that sort. She's finding it very difficult, and she doesn't feel she's pretty. She doesn't feel she's popular. She doesn't feel, you know, that she's, you know, being a part of the school environment. And so, and he said there's no assistance in that, in getting, you know, there's no programs, anything like that, where they are socializing the kids. They're, you know, where they'll help them get together or something of that sort. But how do you, he wants to know, how do you deal with those kind of situations where your child's social skills are not there, and they're not developing social experiences in school, and that's affecting them academically.
Right. Yes. Thank you, Darren Coley, for that question. It is important, you know, in terms of socialization. Dr. Reiner, we talked about this 2 weeks ago, and actually we played that back last week, how socialization has to do with your identity. And during that stage of adolescence, as I said earlier, just the stage in the physiological, which is your physical, it's very challenging, because the child, and if you were to think about when you were that age, the hormones, the testosterone, the estrogen is just going topsy-turvy, and then you start feeling the pressure just of life, and they're going through puberty, where for the male, you know, the beard starts to grow, the voice gets a little deeper, from squeaky to deeper, and for the girls, you know, they may start, for some, get their menstrual cycle, things like that. And therefore, they're going to go through a mood swing anyway, you know, once a month. But then to, when you bring it back to them, they themselves, how they see themselves, and I'll say this quickly. When I was in going through my puberty stage adolescent, especially from 10 to about 14, I didn't have a great self-esteem about how I saw myself. And but what was good is my best friend, Sharon Nielsen, she came on the station a couple of weeks ago, and she'll be back on soon. She now externally, she's from Jamaica, you know, Jamaica, West Indies, long, beautiful hair, dark-skinned complexion, speaks very well. And but what happened is, as her and I reconnect, she was always complimenting me. And in the beginning, we would wear the same coat and the same shoes. So I understand your daughter. She wants to look like her counterpart. She wants to look like the people who are in school. But the reality is, if she just take a look at, and this is what I encourage the students to do, find one friend. Find someone that you think is similar to you. Perhaps they're quiet. Go with someone who's quiet. Or if a person's outgoing, choose somebody who's outgoing. But you don't have to go with the most popular group. And I know that's hard for a teenager because they believe that if they get with the crew, you know, the outgoing crew, the most popular crew, that they can be protected and they got it going on and all those type of things. But I'm giving, you know, Darren, you another an alternative for your child to say, look at someone else that may be quiet, and then you can just do like one-on-one type of relationship with this person. You like similar things or you like different things, and get their number, reach out. And the reality, kids, although they may seem like they're loud in the mall or loud at home, they're really shy. I really coached a lot of the students to, there was a student, I'll give you a quick example. There was a student who would not go to lunch. Want to sit during my time where I would have my break, Ms. Brown, can I sit here? And I said, why you don't want to go to lunch? I don't know anyone. And if they don't know anyone during that lunch period, let's just say block two, they don't want to go to lunch. And I was giving them strategies, and I'm using the same strategies. These are best practices. And it's going to take time. Your child has to work on the self-esteem. Give me a call. You know, we don't really have a 15-minute consultation, but give me a ring. And we can talk about all of that. I have a whole, oh, gosh, a whole, it's going to be a book soon or soon, in terms of children and development and socialization and understanding that puberty stage. It's a difficult time, but you can continue to support, you know, you and your wife and support your child in that development. But what they're going through is not unnatural. It's definitely natural, and it's a little harder now. However, it's not impossible. So thank you so much for your question. I do appreciate it. Give me a call, 862-205-9077. Thank you.
And why don't you also give them, like, if they want to email you or a website as well?
Yes, my website is www.morel, as in Morel, O-R, E-A-L-E, Brown, INC.com. And then my email is the same, Morel Brown, Incorporated, @gmail.com. Morel Brown, Incorporated, that's INC, @gmail.com. Love to hear from you. Love to hear from you.
I also see as well, the Joneses are here as well.
Okay,
you know.
Great. Yes. Okay, let me
want to give a nice hand to Mrs.
I'm sorry.
Oh, you want to give another question? Okay.
Yeah, let's take one more. Let's take one more, and then we'll bring it in.
Okay. You have Barbara Stansfell. She's from Oklahoma City, Ohio. And she's saying that with all of the distractions today, music, you know, everything is about luxury and beauty and every, you know, everybody's materialistic today.
Yeah.
And a lot of the children who do not have, you know, nice sneakers, nice clothes, jewelry, you know, what mm-hmm. you know, some of the kids have when you go to school. So a lot of, so her children, she has four kids. She's a single mom. And she cannot afford to keep up with all of the fashions and things of that sort. And her children are between the ages of 8 and 15. And she has two girls and two boys. The oldest are two boys. The youngest are two girls. And she finds it difficult. You know, she thinks that makes her kids not be social and not be productive academically because they don't have what others have. and you know, children tend to brag if you know if they have certain things, and they can also talk down to another kid who do not have all those things. So they want to say it, and they know, you know, she's a Christian and she believes in, you know, teaching a Christian way of life. But she said she just find it difficult encouraging her kids, you know, that it is not important, you know, what they wear and things of that sort, that they are important, and she wants to encourage them more.
Right.
She's looking for some kind of book or group or something of that nature where she can, you know, expose her kids to some, you know, some areas of improving their behavior as well as academics, as well as encouraging them to not feel so bad because they don't have what everybody else has.
Right. Okay. Right. Thank you so much, Dr. Ron. I appreciate that. You know, Barbara, yes, it's you have two boys, two girls, so you're balancing them out in terms of gender, in terms of their identity and where they are, and it depends on their age and how far apart, you know, your children are. They are going through, in a sense, identity crises, and especially, you know, just being younger. What I would say to you is, again, being empathetic, being an active listener, understanding where they are and validating where they are and what they feel and their perception, that the world is telling us and telling them, and they're very impressionable. We've kind of, you know, gotten over the hurdle of, oh, you know what, it's not about your car, it's not about your house. They're not there yet. So understanding how they're processing it, their cognitive ability, how they're understanding it, how they're navigating this system when they're looking at, and it's not to pick on him, Nas or Jay-Z. They're only showing you the most glamorous. I mean, they don't, you know, they're not really showing you someone who is, say, in high school. And let's talk about the Joneses really quickly, who the 15-year-old, you know, is doing some investment. He's doing drop shipping. The 18-year-old, you know, I think the 18-year-old makes music or investment, and then you have the 25-year-old, but they'll straighten it out for me if I'm wrong. But the bottom line, they're not showing you that people are in the trenches and that it takes time to get money and then to translate that money into buying clothes and shoes. But the reality is getting them to a point, especially in Christendom, to understand that things does not satisfy them, but giving them the necessity. And then, and I think the other caller mentioned this earlier, as far as groups, getting with groups like, if there's a group, if they're good in music, getting them with the chorus in their school. If they're good with track and field and running, getting them on something like that, because that's a good way for them to meet other students. And again, they don't need a crowd. They may think they do, but they don't really need a crowd. They just need one or two who thinks like them, act like them, you know, and want to be different. And I'll give you this quick example. It's 8:03. We want to get ready to bring the Joneses in. You know, when I was in elementary, and my best friend at that time is no longer living, but what we did was we didn't really – everybody's going out to lunch. We were just like really my social skills, please. You think, wow, Miss Brown, she talks a lot. She's an extrovert. I was not always like that. We would not go out to lunch with all the other students because they would be fighting, and then sometimes they would play and everything like that. But it was just, you know, like her and I. And then the cafeteria lady, you know, works in the cafeteria. Why don't y'all go out and play? I don't want to go out, you know. And I did come from East New York, and they, you know, they were little gang-related kind of wannabes at that time. And, you know, so they would, hey, you know, trying to, you know, scare you up or whatever. So it was a scary time. But if your children are not being bullied or picked on, work with, again, getting into a group. As I got older in college, I guess, is when I really joined something. I just was always, you know, I don't know, just I didn't join groups when I was, let's see, not in high school. When I got in college, I joined a Christian club. And, you know, now I'm part of different groups and association. But I would recommend whatever they're good at, find out what they're good at and identify their talent, their inborn talent, their spiritual gifting, and then hone on in that and then ask them if they want to be in those type of groups. And even if you need to model socialization, those type of skills, how to talk, how to speak up for themselves so that we can continue to build their self-esteem and get them through the turbulent or the challenging time of adolescence. So I hope that helps, Barbara. And again, give me a call.
Yeah, you might want to give your information again as well.
Okay, thank you. 862-205-9077. 862-205-9077. So what we'll do is we're going to open the lines up again. We're going to have the Joneses on. So we can go ahead, Dr. Ron. Thank you so much. And thank you, Joneses, for being so patient. And bring them in.
Okay. All right. Great. Great. So we're going to bring in Mr. and Mrs. Jones from Make Your Life Better Financial Group. We'll give them nice hands.
Hello.
Hello and good evening.
Hello, Ms. Brown. How are you?
Finding yourself. Yes. How have you guys been?
Great. Sitting here just enjoying the great conversation you were having.
Yes, thank you.
Very important point.
Yes. Did you want to add anything? Did you guys want to? Because you have voice and you guys, you know firsthand. I'm talking from a teacher's perspective. Person who's been in education for over 20 years and what, 23 nieces and nephews, and some of them live with me. So what you want to shed
some
light?
I'm
sorry?
You got some really good experience there.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am.
It's really good.
How do you handle
really good to talk to you guys again.
I'm sorry?
It's so wonderful talking to you as well.
I was just saying hello.
How you doing, Mr. Jones?
Oh, I'm doing great. Just really good to hear you guys again, Dr. Ron, Dr. Brown. Really
thank
glad
you so
to
much.
Be back on with you again.
Yes,
I know
yes.
Me and you, Mr. Jones, we homeboys.
yes. Let me just let the audience know. I've had the pleasure to meet them. Via Zoom, for the last 2 months seems like. I'm taking their financial class. It's basically about investing. They are not people who will tell you, you know what, buy Apple is going up any day and you're going to become rich really quickly. But they begin to teach you the strategies of investment. They have their PowerPoints and so on and so forth. And in all honesty, I am so, I'm thinking about indebted audience to them because they were one of my first partners to be able to partner with me on Blog Talk Radio. Joseph Cofield introduced me to them. He was the first one to feed into, Blog Talk with me. And subsequent, we've had the Joneses, who was coming on monthly. And I'm trying to get them back on. And I just believe in partnering with individuals who are passionate about developing people in life and leadership by way of finance. It was a piece that, as I said to you a little earlier, when it came down to Mallet Creek High and learning about personal finance and business and all of that. But they came in with the goods. They had it. I'm like, oh, gosh. I'm not trying to let them go. And they really added to the show. And so, audience, we were dealing with being able to change your mindset. And with their classes, and I'm going to give it to you in a moment, Joneses. Right now, this is me bragging on you. With the Joneses, Mr. and Mrs. Joneses, and I'll say the Jones family, being able to change your mindset first, because a year ago, my brother was telling me about investing, and he was specifically saying Apple, and his wife was talking to me, and I was just not ready. I was still hanging on to when, well, not knocking the blessings, because some people did get really blessed a year ago, just different strategies of how we as a people can grow our finance. And I find that sometimes just doing it the old way or a different way with a different perspective and a different mindset is good. And so we'll go ahead into talking about, before we get back into, you know, bullying or anything like that, or how you navigated with your boys in high school, you want to talk about, like, what you guys are up to right now?
Oh, sure. Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, it's interesting that you said, like, a year ago that you had a conversation with your brother. We're actually
yes.
about to celebrate a year with our own business of teaching people investment literacy. So that's
Woo!
Coming up this month. We will have
great.
Yeah, it's great, and it's, you know, really cool
one
that
year.
We started off with 1 year, yep, and we started off with one class, and now we're going to be around six. And so
wow.
just that type of growth, yeah, just that type of growth, and just being able to know that we were able to touch lives through a blessing of teaching investment literacy, because again, we tell all of our students, we tell anybody who comes around that this is
yes.
something that has been going on for so many years, but for whatever reason, people of color have never really taken advantage of it the way that they can.
Yes.
And so sure. I'm really thankful, really grateful to be able to share that knowledge, to share what we've learned, what my lovely wife has taken the time to build a curriculum on, you know,
great.
To give that to other people.
Oh, my God.
And so, yeah, we're really happy about it. Our first class is set to graduate August 8th. We've been pumping
Woo,
up 8-8
yes.
save the date. And so we're going to.
8-8 save the date.
Yeah, 8-8 save the date. That's my wife's
it's
little
happening.
Saying, Jesus.
Oh, my
well, yeah,
God, that's awesome.
Yeah, we're preparing, gearing up for a celebration for that, you know, and we're looking forward to what the future holds as well. You know, we
awesome.
Have been about spreading that word, getting the word
yes.
out, and just giving people an opportunity to grow and build through financial literacy.
Yes. Wow. That's great. The Joneses, I have a question. You mentioned it went from one class to six classes.
That's yes. right.
Okay.
One class to six classes.
Let's name those classes. Let the audience know.
Let's name those classes. So, well, we just have class 1 through 6, and, you know, we also have our investment club. And so the
yes.
thing about it is it's a 10-unit course. The
yes.
first course deals with investment literacy, the basic principles of investment literacy. And then the next
mm-hmm.
unit deals with the basic principles of trading and
wow.
options. And so, you know, we are doing it big. We got that first class out of the way.
Yes.
We're coming through with a couple other
yes.
classes,
okay.
and we're about to initiate a whole new group of people
yes.
into the Make You Better
yes.
financial group family.
Wow. So you're saying that I'm 57 years old. Y'all kicking me out of school? I graduate, huh?
Well, you know,
I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid.
Well, these days they're calling it the moving on celebration, so you'll be moving
yes.
on.
See, that's good. And you know, just thinking about the topic of being able to maximize, meaning to make the most, and going from a fixed mentality, fixed attitude, stagnated, saying, look, my family, we don't come from a line of business people or people who deal in finance or investment, to saying, okay, now, and I think Grazio, he's a coach, he's a new up-and-coming, I call him new, But he was just saying that even they shifted in coaching, and now they've maximized the situation and pivot, and now they're I forgot what they're going to be talking about, but he was just talking about technology courses, putting the courses on the computers and all this other stuff. And I listened to it earlier today. But the reality is, had these coaches continued to say, look, I'm just going to sit and meet with people or go to these hotels and these large forums and spend all of this money, it would be hard, because I was out today, out and about earlier, and you could see some people in Harrisburg, they were still conscientious, having on the mask and social distancing.
Oh, yeah.
And, I was in the UPS, and one of the ladies, it was maybe about seven of us in there, and I think it's supposed to only be six or five. And she said to someone on the phone, it's crowded in here, So I was somewhat glad to hear that they're still being careful with the variants. And so I say that just to really say that it is time, as you said, to change mindset, to like say, oh, and the thing about mindset and internet, the classes that the Joneses have is via Zoom. So one particular time I was driving with my nephew, and we, was picking him up, and I was like, okay, you know what? I got to be on my finance class. Another time I was at Lowe's. I need to be on my finance class. However, with me, I like to learn quietly while being at home, but you don't always have that opportunity. So if you have a busy life, Max Fam, take advantage of it, low cost, and just tell them your website.
Yes, ma'am. Our website is makeyoubetterfinancialgroup.com. Again, that's makeyoubetterfinancialgroup.com. And then you can also find us on your social media platform, either Facebook or Instagram. And then for those that do have, the busy lifestyle, we also are on the Patreon platform, and that's where have recorded content where you can just go there and subscribe to our page, and you can see the recorded content, at your own leisure. So we do have that available. And Dr. Brown, you did mention one of my favorite words. I want to go back to pivot. That pivot is super important. You have to be able to pivot in life. And that's for children as well as adults. In our 10-unit course, mindset is so important. And I believe that, we all have strengths and we all have weaknesses. But I believe that if you just work on your weaknesses until they become your strength, if you can pivot and do that, then, you can see a lot of doors and things opening up and see your mind opening up, because our brain is the strongest muscle, that we have in our body. You can go to the gym all day, every day, and lift weights and things of that nature, but it's your brain that's telling your body to do that. And so your brain can, it can wish you sick or it can wish you well.
True.
So that is super important. So I did want to just touch on the pivot. That's one of my favorite words. I'm always telling the boys, sometimes you got to pivot. Things don't always go, exactly as planned, but you can pivot, and then sometimes it winds up working out better.
One
of my favorite prayers is the Serenity Prayer, and in that prayer you're asking for strength, courage, and wisdom. If you can put that together, within yourself, I think that you can go really far. And especially when it comes to just changing the mindset towards investing. If it's something that, you're not familiar with or, you've never done before, it's something, worth really just looking at to see how you can open up your mind to grow and to build. Because as my husband said, now that we're growing and getting more students, more classes, and things of that nature, we're really seeing how interested, people really are. The number one comment that I hear people say all the time is, I always wanted to do it, but I never knew how. I always wanted to do it, but I never knew how. And you look up and 30, 40, 50 years passes by and you never knew how, you know. So we just wanted to take the opportunity to show people how, not just tell them, but then show them and how they can use their own brain, you know, to make good investment decisions and try to build something for yourself.
Yes. Wow. Wow. That's great. It's interesting because, I'm sorry, Mr. Jones, you want to say something?
No, no, I was just agreeing 100% with what my wife said. Amen. I was saying amen.
You want to elaborate? Would you like to elaborate?
Oh, yes. I absolutely would. Just because, you know, I will take it back to the kids now. And I'm not going to penalize you. You got a little bit twisted with the ages and the occupation.
I figured I did. I've been bragging on them. But the people that don't know them, they didn't know I was. Good. Tell me about them.
We still get it mixed up a little bit too. You know, they're always in our ears. So
right. Okay, so the 15-year-old.
So the 15-year-old, he's the one who does the drop shipping. The 18-year-old is mainly into sneaker resale and apparel. And then our oldest son, Kai, he is the one who does the music. But That's right.
Right.
The music in the cars.
Yes.
But
okay.
Then, you know,
I was talking about him on Sunday. Yes.
You were. And what's really I think unique about them, just having three boys, and I know my wife agrees with this too, is that, you know, boys are always into the trends. When you talk about like the shoes and the clothes and the stuff, guys, that's what they do. And so what one of our challenges was when we as raising, you know, teenage boys was to try to teach them what is important, you know, what was important coming up. And it's not necessarily shoes, clothes, that type of thing, because, again, we want to teach them stuff that is going to hold value. We want to teach them about ways to grow that stuff, you know, because anybody can go out here and buy a pair of shoes. But, again, when we talk about it in investment terms, why not own the company that makes the shoes?
Right.
And so and that's what we did with our children. And so thankfully they were they definitely love brands, but they've always had, you know, that type of financial underland that we've tried to instill in them, and especially my wife. She started when they were really little.
And, that's great.
You know, we've mentioned she did, and we've mentioned before that when we started teaching investing, that's where we turned first. Because you best believe children love money. And they absolutely love money when they understand what type of tool it is.
I see.
You know, all the different things that they can do with that money. So, again, they were the perfect minds to absorb what we were trying to teach. And once they got it, you know, we figured that we could bring it to the masses.
Yes. Wow. So it's really trying your program out first at home. In, you know, biblically it says, you know, charity, love, giving starts at home. So you gave them first. And
that's right.
You know, you and I, yes. And it's interesting because children and young people, teenagers, they're critics. They're very critical.
Oh, yes.
That's right.
Wow. This is really. I'm sorry.
I was just gonna say the whole idea though is just for them to be able to understand that they can have options. You know, going out into this big world, just knowing that they can have those options, and that, you know, it's not so much of them loving the money, but it's the things that money can provide, and money can afford you. You know, time and things of that nature.
Right.
You don't have to. The only reason anybody gets up and go to work, for the most part, some people just love their job. You know, I'm not talking about those people. But most people get up and go to work 8 hours a day to get the check at the end of the week. You know, so if you can find ways, if you can have options of other ways to get money, then you can kind of maybe cut the time that you're at work.
See?
You know,
wow.
And that affords time to be able to do other things. It's really about prioritizing, prioritizing life, prioritizing your finances, educating your children on finances, just making that a priority, making it normal that we talk about these things at the dinner table, at the cookout, at the wherever. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about it.
See, exactly. Wow, that's great. And I want to go back to the Max Fam. Elizabeth Taylor called in concerned about bullying with her son. Darren Coley called in, you know, just how to talk to, you know, a child and navigating, you know, self-esteem and academics, and Barbara called in as well. And it's interesting because the biggest concern, or at least, you know, two out of three, the concern was identity and linking the identity and socialization and how important a child feels about themselves based on the amount of people that they're around or the types of people, to make sure, quote unquote, that you with the in crew or the most outgoing girls or the most known girls or popular girls or boys, and then what you're wearing. And what I like about what you're doing, and this is just a good segue, is that teaching the kids to change that fixed mindset, to elevate their mindset, and this is what Belle talked about a little earlier, elevating the consciousness that we cannot change everyone in their perspective. We can try and we can be a catalyst towards their change, younger people, adolescent. And if they choose not to see us differently, now we're not going to tolerate bullying or anything like that. But if they stay in their world, and if they want to stay where, this particular, Prada, the shoes, the pocketbook, you know, the jewelry, the gold, the coats, whatever, the sneakers. Mm-hmm. But then when you can take your children and say, listen, let's invest. Oh, you know what? Is this what they're wearing? You know, they're wearing Jordans, you know, I don't know, 1, 2, and 3 or whatever, first, second, and third edition. Well, you know what? Let's invest. This is where I need y'all help, Mr. and Mrs. Jones.
No, I mean, you're exactly right, Ms. Brown, you know, and I think that's one of the biggest things when you talk about the black race, you talk about black kids, you know, it always becomes that question, and that's what we teach to our sons, you know, consumership versus ownership. You know, it's really cool to own those shoes, or it's really cool to own those clothes, but it's a lot cooler to own the company, you know.
Yeah,
and so
wow.
That's what we talk to them about, and I think that's something that any child, any adult can strive for. And you know, I feel called to do this. And my wife, we were just at a cookout this weekend, and she was kind of looking at me, and one of the guys that was there, he screamed out, "Oh, your husband's working!" And yeah, I was, because so many of us who, if we did have the information, we are going to use it. Now, like you said, there's going to be some of us that don't. And that doesn't mean that we necessarily stop. My wife never gives up on anyone. You know, she can find the good in anyone. And I think that's a real admirable trait, because I'm more of the, well, we got to let them go. Okay, we got to let them go. Move on to the next one. But the thing about it is that even if you have a group of 10 and you touch two, that's good, because those two are going to tell two more, you know.
Right.
And so we have to look at it in those terms. And with children, again, you know, they can be your harshest critics, but they can also be your biggest trumpets. And so, it is true. And they talk to their friends, and, you know, they put the word out there, and then you see their friends doing a little bit different, and the focus is not necessarily on how do we accumulate all of this stuff, how do we just get stuff, materialistic stuff, and the conversation changes to, how do we own this stuff?
Exactly.
How do we build a business? You know, how do we have our own? How do we make it so we don't have to work a 9-to-5 like our parents did to provide for us, but we can still make a positive impact while also building our generational wealth,
You know, again, I said this a few shows ago that my wife looked at me one day and said, you know, we have given them something that money can never buy. You
wow.
know, and,
wow.
and
yes.
that is the truth. You know, we've
powerful.
Given them financial sense, you know, financial
yeah.
common sense. We've
I
given
like
them a jump start on life when it comes to finances. We've given them a jump start on what it understands
mm-hmm.
what it means to build generational wealth, you know,
yeah.
and to have a clear understanding of those components and the facets
mm-hmm.
of that, and to understand that there's more than one way to do it. Even if you don't want to necessarily invest in the stock market, there's other avenues. As you witnessed yourself in our investment club, we had
yes.
Two gentlemen on there that were talking about cryptocurrency, which is
oh,
something
yeah.
that is also really big. And so we have a lot of people in our classes that are interested in that. And so we
yes.
said, let's find somebody who's an expert on it and let's bring
and
them in
good.
And let them
that
talk
was
to
good,
the class.
Because you identified the need and you met that need.
Absolutely. And so, and that's what we try to do, you know, because we primarily focus on investment through the stock market, but we know that not everyone, that's not
right.
going to be their focus, but let's all just grow and build together. And if you have something that you're interested in, we're going to find somebody in our network that can tell you about it. And we're going to grow our network, and you're going to be able
yes.
to grow your social capital as well at the same time.
Right. Wow, that's good.
Because
that's really good.
I do believe that the, you know, best investment that you can make first and foremost is in yourself.
Yes.
And so I just wanted to go back real quick to the mom that called in. I hope she's still listening. That talks about, you know, the bullying and things of that nature. As far as, you know, the kids' clothes and things like that, because, you know, we got to face it that, you know, we like to look good, and there's nothing wrong with that. And at
right.
school and social settings, you know, kids can be mean. But
oh,
what
yes.
I would suggest to her is tap into your child's own creativity. Make their own brand. Let them wear
yeah,
their
ooh, I like
own.
That.
They don't have to wear another person's name or whatever. They can create their own logo right on the computer and they can put it on a shirt. Then they'll have the kids wanting to wear their stuff. And then another point, because I am frugal, but I like to look good also. Don't get me wrong. But, the thrift stores can be your friend. You can find some really cute stuff in the thrift stores for
yes.
a fraction of what you would go, you know, in a store and buy. So, you know, I would even encourage that as well.
Yes, true. Wow, that's good.
Yes.
That's really good.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so
much.
Don't let that stop you. Don't let nobody bully you.
right.
You
and know, I want to piggyback on what did you say? Pivot, right?
Yeah, pivot.
exactly. You know, Mrs. Jones. I'm sorry.
I just want to ask, because I get a lot of this myself, dealing with children and counseling with families. Mrs. Jones, the problem a lot of people are saying, and the gentleman calling today, Darryl, he was saying that, okay, he provides as much as he can for his children, as well as the sister that had the four children, two young girls, two older boys from ages 8. to 14, in which we know that's the most impressive years, right? And she's saying that, okay, she can't provide those things that the other kids have, and that's causing her kids to become introverted, become a little less active academically as well. It's affecting their academic life as well as affecting their social life. And you know, I have 6 kids, and I know my youngest daughter was very social. You know, she's a social butterfly, whatever y'all call that. And she friends meant so much to her. You know, my wife and I, we try to get her out of that, but she has intensity about friends. And
right.
A lot of times friendships don't work out. A lot of times connecting to the in crowd kids in the school don't work out. And you know, it's hard for the parent, because how do you influence your child when it's really their peers that they feel is most influential? So, you know, the question, and I'm just throwing this at you because you seem to have a lot of knowledge about it. How do you encourage your child when they're not getting that encouragement from the friends at school, or they're not feeling part of anything because they feel inadequate, maybe academically, maybe inadequate for clothes, or maybe they're not as pretty as the other girls, you know, things of this sort.
Again, like I said, work on certain areas until your weaknesses become your strengths. We all have something inside of us. So I would just encourage, you know, to talk to the child to find out, you know, exactly what their strengths are. And then you can highlight those areas so maybe they wouldn't feel as bad about, you know, whatever they would consider their weaknesses to be. And then, you know, just go from there. And then, you know, if the school setting, you know, is that bad, perhaps find other outlets for the child, you know, at a community center or things of that nature.
I know some of the things that we... That's right. And I was just going to follow up with you, sweetie. Like, one of the things that we've always been big on with our children is positive reinforcement. You know, because a lot of the times when you have children that are in those situations, it sometimes comes back to esteem. And so, you know, as my wife said, you know, find the things that they struggle with, you know, turn those things into strengths, keep encouraging them, make sure that you are being a part of that journey that they're having from a child to a teenager to a young adult, because as much as they might say they don't want you there or it might not be the cool thing to be with your parent, you know, there's going to be those moments when they are going to show you how important that is. And so I say always be a part of what they're doing, you know, be a positive influence on their life. Don't necessarily pry, but always know, you know, what's going on, who they're dealing with. Make sure that their friends know who you are. And I think that goes a lot towards helping that, Dr. Ron, because at the end of the day, you know, we always want to protect our kids. We want to make sure that our kids have everything that they want. We want to make sure that they're safe, that the environment that they're in is positive. And we do impact that quite a bit. And I found that one of the most helpful things is being there as a resource for them, continuing to remind them that they are special, that they can do great things, that there's this road out here that is destined for them to travel on that path to doing great things. And again, that constant encouragement, you just keep encouraging them, you know. And I know that's something that's worked for us. We've always had really tight relationships with our children, my wife especially. You know, she was always the one who's running in schools with them when they don't, when they're telling her no, and no, mommy, you making me look like a little pug or something. No, mommy. But she was always there doing that. And as they progressed through school, I think that it's had a big impact on them. For instance, our 15-year-old, he is an introvert. You know, he's not very talkative. He's really shy, really quiet. But he's one who, through all of that, still manages to be somewhat popular in school. And it's one of the things that confounds me, drives me crazy. I don't understand, you know, because people want to be around him. People gravitate towards him, and I don't understand because he never even talks, but he does walk around with that quiet confidence. I think that he has that, you know, that's something that we've instilled in them, you know. And
is
so
he Gemini?
I think
holla,
holla. Oh, my goodness.
Gemini is something else. I'm just kidding.
Wow. Quite confident, huh?
Yeah. Yes, Gemini is something else. I'm like, and the only reason I said that, Mr. and Mrs. Jones and Coach Morrell, because I'm a Gemini, and I was like that. I wasn't very outgoing when I was young.
Okay.
But people love to be around me, and I didn't understand it, but I collect their money. Thank y'all.
You get that paper, as they say, huh?
And when he was talking about what he was doing, I felt some connection with him, and I said, "Holla,
you,
the
huh?
brother."
Right.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's amazing you picked that up, though, like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it really is.
Wow. Okay.
You are your child's first teacher at home, you know.
Teaching mom.
Teaching that it's okay that, you know, for them to be an individual. It's okay, you know, to be your own person, to be a leader and not a follower. That's something that I always preach to the boys. Be a leader, not a follower.
That's good.
Like my husband said, just instill that in them, you know, daily. Make it a mantra. And, you know, certain phases that kids go through, you know, they'll come out of it and come into their own identity.
That's true. Wow, that's good. This is good. You know what we can do, Mr. and Mrs. Jones, we can go ahead and open up the lines. We have you, you know, just again, changing our mindset concerning finance, investment, changing our mindset in just teaching our children to love themselves. And as Mr. Jones said, it starts at home. And Mrs. Jones says, hey, guess what? You are your own child's first teacher, and that's actually a program, you know. Parasol, you are. You really are. And so what we want to do, we want to hear from the Max fam. If you have any questions for the Joneses concerning finance, concerning child development, self-esteem, bullying, anything like that, you know. So please, Dr. Ron.
Okay.
Thank you so
much. All right,
much.
So we got 646-972. Your mic is open. I don't know if you're probably muted. You guys probably on mute.
Hello?
Yourself.
1 second. Hello? Hello?
Yes, your mic is open.
Yeah, this is Charlie Green. I'm calling. You know, I'm listening to the show. I think that it's an excellent concept. It's definitely an
Thank
excellent
you.
Topic. How you doing, Coach Morale, Dr. Robinson? How you doing?
Himself. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, I'm
good
feeling
to hear.
A lot better. I'm feeling a lot better. But, I think to chime in just briefly for a moment to say, like, in terms of, like, low self-esteem and youth that are, you know, are encountering, like, bullies and things of that nature, a lot of times, man, they have to grow into understanding that their weakness is their strength, and they have to develop. It's a process of growth and development. And it's good to have what I understand. And I always like to stress the concept of community and mentorship. And those are the two, to me, most primary components to helping a person, whether they're a youth or whether they're an adult, to help them to build their skill set towards improving themselves, towards job-related tasks, careers, and so on and so forth. So I definitely, for those who are listening, I definitely like the idea, which is where you're talking about the guests in terms of having those resources to help individuals to better challenge their obstacles and learning how to overcome their obstacles to win, you know, because they all win. Everyone has a win. You know, everybody's a winner. You know, we just have to develop. We have to be around those people, places, and things that are going to bring out the best in us. And so with that said, I just want to thank you for even introducing the topic, because I know that a lot of people can be helped just by listening to this broadcast and this program pertaining to those issues, because a lot of us have challenges and obstacles, and a lot of times we have a level of uncertainty as to where we're going in life, and we don't sometimes understand that, you know, we have to embrace our weaknesses in order to value our strengths. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Green, for your input. Well said. You know, wow.
That's absolutely.
That's powerful.
Yeah, I'll be on Friday night and Thursday night, and God willing, Saturday night I'll be on there with Dr. Robinson. If he's
he's very humble, y'all. He is the host of the Black Business Network Club. He's the host. I'm retiring. He's taking over.
Yes, I've listened to you, man.
It's a wonderful opportunity, and thank y'all. And everyone that's listening, thank you for joining the program, and I salute you all. Thank you. With that said, I'm going to let someone else talk.
Well, I'll give you another shout-out, and Dr. Ron, I'm learning. You know, again, check out, you know, Neo Nation on Thursday, Friday. Look, It's on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, right? 7 to 9, and you have good content. Take a look at the flavor, find out what you like, and support. You know, Tiki Williams was on yesterday talking about real estate. My goodness, her and Dr. Winborn, really great topic. You know, so you know, check it out. So who we have next, Dr. Ron?
All right, we have 914-979. Your mic is open.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah, I want to compliment you guys again for, you know, the conversation that you're having thus far, because, you know, our kids are very important, and when we can actually focus on them and show them different ways that they can improve their situations, whether it's academically, whether it's feeling of worthiness, that they're, you know, capable of doing different things, all these things are very important, because even myself, you know, I taught in the school system for about 12 years.
Excellent.
And teaching them, you know, how to improve their grades. And also, unfortunately, at the time when I was dealing with it, you know, there were serious gang wars that were going on.
Yes.
So there was a lot of self-hatred that these kids had within their mindset that, you know, killing each other is no problem. Matter of fact, you know, they deserve to be killed and all that kind of craziness.
Uh-huh.
And what ended up happening was, you know, we were able to come together and go into the school and talk to them about, you know, coming out of that crazy mindset where they feel that it's all right to kill each other, to actually start to really see about doing something positive with their life. Like the brother was saying, thinking about starting a business down the line or to get into a business that could really help them to, you know, make some serious money, and that they don't have to necessarily be working in a factory or working at McDonald's. They could also be working in a situation where they could be self-dependent and, you know, self-employed and, you know, make some serious money. So these are things that, you know, I believe, you know, can really have a great effect. And one of the things that we utilized that really took their mindset out of all that negativity was the fact that we gave them affirmations to say that helped to reprogram their mind. Because actually that's a very important aspect of, you know,
powerful.
Of reprogramming the mind. Because when you actually keep telling someone or telling yourself that you are worthy and that you can do this, you can do that, and that you can improve your grades and you can do a lot of different things in regards to making money and other things, then that's when people start to, you know, have a change in the way that they start thinking, because this society really is teaching just the opposite. It's trying to tell you that you're incapable of doing a lot of things, and that's one of the reasons why a lot of our people are caught up into, you know, poverty consciousness. But in order to come out of poverty consciousness, you have to reprogram the thinking, whether it's adults or with youth. And once we start to really see ourselves looking at seeing ourselves from a different capacity and start projecting that we can accomplish these things, that's when those things start to actually happen for us. And we were able to, you know, raise the grade level of a lot of kids in the school. We were able to help a lot of athletes that were kind of stuck as losers. We were able to get one brother who was really a track, you know, loser to actually become a track star. But the thing about it was he used affirmations, and he also used another tool, mental tool that we used that really helped a lot of people as well, and that was meditation. They started to visualize themselves and seeing themselves as winners instead of losers, you know, as athletes.
Yeah.
And once they started to conceive that, hey, you know, I can really be a winner. I can really do this. I can really do that. Once they started to see themselves in that capacity, that was when that actually manifested for them in their lives. So these are things that can really happen. But the reprogramming of the mind, whether it's you or adults, is really an important thing. And then using those tools, whether they're affirmations, whether it's meditation, visualization, all these different things can really bring about some huge and awesome, you know, change in the thinking patterns that people have. And, important thing that our folks need to do, because once we start to really visualize and see, and the most important thing we tell them, don't just say that you believe this affirmation that, you know, if I see it and believe it, I can achieve it, but also really believe it, you know, really see it, you know. And another one that we gave them was without a shadow of a doubt, know that your goals and dreams will come about. This was another affirmation that we gave them. And they kept on saying that over and over again. And by them still believing that this is something that could really happen, because if they really see this by getting rid of all the doubts and the fears and really see it in confidence and knowing this, that they can achieve these things, then boom, that's what's going to happen for them. And it did happen for a lot of them. So all I can say is these are things, but reprogramming the mind is very important. And these are things that need to happen. And if we do it, then they'll start to see some great results in the process of dealing with that.
Well, thank you so much. And who do I have the pleasure of speaking with?
This, again, is Benjamin Bridges. We spoke earlier on your show earlier.
Okay, great. Thank you for your input. I appreciate that. So powerful. Somehow it's coming through low, but I heard a lot of what you were saying, reprogramming the mind. And you know, every day I go through that process. I go through that process. Otherwise, I wake up like I am today. I don't want to wake up like I woke up today. I need to be better for tomorrow, and there's barriers. And so, like you said, it's a constant. And I'm glad you brought up those techniques. You know, we'll get into that in the next couple of weeks, meditation, visualization, affirmation, things like that, you know. So thank you. Definitely tune in and, you know, let people know what we're talking about, brain hacking, spirit hacking, mind hacking. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. And thank you.
Do we have anybody else?
Let me share this with you guys.
Yeah.
Well, we got a couple more minutes to go as well. So I guess we'll go ahead and take some of the, we still have the text messages.
Okay,
the children, discussion that we had earlier. And we have Alan Bernstein from Tuxedo, Maryland, I believe that's what it is. Yes, Tuxedo, Maryland.
Okay.
And he's saying that in terms of children learning from external forces, because he's saying like parenting is internal, and then there's external forces, environmental, whatever, you know, the music, the television program, the news, the whatever, you know, there's all of that stuff going on as well. And how do you keep your child concentrated on those things in which you're teaching them? How do you, and I guess what he's saying is, how do you battle, or how do you overcome the circumstances of the other things that are going on in their lives 24/7 when you're trying to teach them a certain concept, but there are other things that they're exposed to as well, and environmental things and friends and et cetera?
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Ron, and thank you, Alan Bernstein. Mr. and Mrs. Jones, I'm going to defer that question to you.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. again, you know, you're not going to be able to block that out. You're not going to be able to block out the different things that your children see or hear, but what you can do is talk to them about it, you know, hear what they have, offer your opinion, you know, don't necessarily come off in a mode of judgment, but again, I think that the biggest thing is understanding what it is, you know, because there are going to be external forces there. And you have to understand what those external forces are. You definitely have to react the right way. And you have to let your kids know that whatever it is that they're going through, even if you don't understand it, that you're right there with them, you know, and that you can be a resource. We've gone as far as to look up stuff that we don't understand, you know, to get a better understanding of it so we can converse back and forth with our children. And the biggest thing is to communicate with them, talk to them. You know, my wife is a big proponent of that. She talks when they don't want to talk, and she gets them to talking. And so I would always say that communication is going to be the biggest thing there, making sure that you are active influence in your children's life.
And then you still, as a parent, you do still have some control there. So some places,
that's
no,
right.
You can't go. Some things, no, you can't do. And that's that.
Right, because that was my thought. I know, you know, it sounds, you know, like Little House on the Prairie kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But like you said, I'm sure with your sons, there were moments where they wanted to kind of instruct you, you know. How do you handle those type of moments where you're saying, hey, these particular external forces are going to get you in trouble. And if as long as you're living under these doors, you know what I mean, under this roof, you got to do what we say.
You got to go old school sometime. That's it.
Thank you. Mr. Joy, is it good?
You
hear
that, Mr. Bernstein?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yes,
is that
Dr.
old concept
Ron.
I brought you in and I could take you out? Is that still good?
I was trying not to go there, Dr. Ron. Right, you know? You know, Mr. Bernstein, you know, it is what it is. And I don't like saying that a lot because I believe we can change things. But let me take that back. It's not is what it is. As they said, like, look, you can look at these external forces, but there are certain things you're not going to allow in your house.
Right.
Absolutely.
And as Mr. Jones said, you know, it comes with communication and building that relationship that when they start really, you know, in our culture, we say smelling themselves and want to be grown, they have choices. They have choices.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that's when you
find
have to
your
say,
apartment.
I'm not trying to be your best friend. Huh?
I say find yourself an apartment.
Exactly. Right. You know, so hopefully
that
has helped you, Mr. Bernstein.
That's a South Carolina thing. Mr. Jones got it. He know.
Oh,
right.
I got it. I absolutely know.
But I just want to say, y'all, that it has been extreme pleasure. We're coming down to the final analysis.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We only got 3 minutes. Lord.
Time passed when you're having fun.
Oh, my God. This has been good.
Let me know what you want to do.
Well, what I would like to do is shower the Joneses with the last 2 minutes or 1 minute. I've given out my number. They've given out their information. Reach out to them. What would you like to say, Mr. and Mrs. Jones, in case we don't have you back next month?
All right. Well, I really just appreciate you sharing your platform with us, and I just want to let your listeners know that they can find us at MakeYouBetterFinancialGroup.com, as well as Facebook, Instagram, and also Patreon, Make You Better Financial Group. For all of your investing needs and resources. We are an investing community.
Excellent. And I tip my hat off to you both. Job well done. You're making an impact, and that's what it's about. You change your mindset, you know, taking your mindset to a whole nother level, bi-hack your own mindset, your children's mindset, and now you are affecting the community and making an impact. Continue to do what you do in a greater way, and you have my support, Dr. Ron, Dr. Winborn, and all of the supporters, and to the Max fam. Continue to realize that you are gifted, you are endowed with almighty power, and that you are in the image of God, and you are your child's first teacher, and you're called to stand in the gap into hijack the external forces, as Mr. Bernstein would call it, and to show them that there's a different way and get them through that challenging area development, because you can do it and you've been called to do it. No one knows your kid like you know them, and continue to be there even when they're angry and they want to push you away. Know that you can bi-hack that brain and get them through that difficult time. I love you. Yeah, I feel emotional right now. Definitely have a great night and a great remainder of the week. God bless. Thank you, Mr. and Mrs. Jones.
And I want everybody to know that it got to get better, Pastor Hezekiah Walker said, because what? God is in control. Everybody's taking a listen. It got to get better.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world, listen to these words. People come.
People go.
People
go.
Your life has been.
Your life has been.
Out of control.
Out of control.
You're confused.
You're confused.
But don't worry.
Don't worry.